Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Text 22. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Tvam Naha Sandarshitaha Dhatra Dustaram Nistitirshatam Kalim Sattva Haram Pungsam Karnadharaha Eva Arnavam Twangna Sandarshito Dhatra Dustarang Nistitirshatam Kalim Sattva Harang Pungsam Karnadhara Ivarnavam Twangna Sandarshito Dhatra Dustarang Nistitirshatam Kaling Sattva Harang Pungsam Karnadhara Ivarnavam Twangna Sandarshito Dhatra Dustarang Nistitirshatam Kaling Sattva Harang Pungsam Karnadhara Ivarnavam Twangna Sandarshito Dhatra Dustarang Nistitirshatam Kaling Sattva Harang Pungsam Karnadhara Ivarnavam Ladies, please. Twam, your goodness, naha, unto us, sandarshita, meeting, dhatra, by providence, dustaram, insurmountable, nistitirshatam, for those desiring to cross over. Kalim, the age of Kali. Sattva, Haram, that which deteriorates the good qualities. Pumsam, of a man. Karna Dharaha, captain. Eva, as. Arnavam, the ocean. Translation, this verse is spoken by the rishis, headed by Shonaka, or Shonaka speaking as the spokesman of the rishis at Naimisharan, speaking to Suta Goswami. We think that we have met your goodness by the will of providence, just so that we may accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of a human being. Purport, the age of Kali is very dangerous for the human being. Human life is simply meant for self-realization, but due to this dangerous age, men have completely forgotten the aim of life. In this age, the lifespan will gradually decrease. People will gradually lose their memory, finer sentiments, strength, and better qualities. A list of the anomalies for this age is given in the 12th canto of this work. And so this age is very difficult for those who want to utilize this life for self-realization. The people are so busy with sense gratification that they completely forget about self-realization. Out of madness, they frankly say that there is no need for self-realization because they do not realize that this brief life is but a moment on our great journey towards self-realization. The whole system of education is geared to sense gratification. And if a learned man thinks it over, he sees that the children of this age are being intentionally sent to the slaughterhouses of so-called education. Learned men, therefore, must be cautious of this age, and if at all they want to cross over the dangerous ocean of Kali, they must follow the footsteps of the sages of Naimisharanya and accept Sri Suta Goswami or his bona fide representative as the captain of the ship. The ship is the message of Lord Krishna in the shape of Bhagavad Gita or the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Shrishtam Manumapi Shachiputramatra Swarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupuring Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Sri Gurum Tam Natosmi Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Atav Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavangsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagarna Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagarna Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha Guru Vaishnav Bhagavan Tina Smarane Hoi Bigna Binashan Anayashi Hoi Nijavan Chita Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This verse used to be more widely known within our ISKCON than it is now. Well, of course, ISKCON has, in terms of numbers, has grown tremendously, but in the personal presence of Srila Prabhupada, this verse was often quoted, often the English more than the Sanskrit. What good fortune that we have come to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. Yeah, it was often quoted in Vyasa Puja ceremonies and throughout the year. Devotees quoting this verse in relationship to Srila Prabhupada and thinking about the great good fortune that can be maybe better perceived or appreciated in these countries where they're far away from Vedic culture, geographically far away and socially far away from Vedic culture, because throughout history, or throughout at least for the last 1,000 years or so since the advent of Sri Ramanujacharya, it hasn't been such a unusual thing to be a devotee of Krishna. It's quite common, actually very common. We see Krishna everywhere in India, and that's been in the culture. Not here. There's no knowledge of Krishna. How could we be so fortunate? Devotees in those early... Oh, I thought someone was having sneezing fits or coughing. So that's a misplaced sensory interpretation. So in these Western countries, devotees had a very strong sense that we're very fortunate, the chosen ones. That term comes from biblical usage. The 12 disciples of Jesus, the chosen ones, he chose them. Here, come and join me. They're just fishermen, having come to the shore, having landed their catch. And Jesus says, well, just come and join me right now. What? He took them. Some of them came like that. So the chosen ones. There was a sense that we are very fortunate to be on the cusp of a revolution of consciousness brought in by Srila Prabhupada, and seeing Srila Prabhupada, how high above us he is. It's almost it's paradoxical that Srila Prabhupada's so much above us in every way. I mean, everyone in society at that time was, considering most of Srila Prabhupada's disciples in the Western world, culturally everyone was above them, because they, at least from the Vedic perspective, they thought they were starting a new revolution of consciousness. But it was ultimately it was moored in sense gratification, or they were unable to separate the search for truth, which was there in hippie culture. They were unable to separate that from sense gratification. So it all devolved into, as sense gratification must, into madness and despair. George Harrison related that he went to the streets of Haight-Ashbury in the after the euphoria had died down, that the love, everything is wonderful, and died down, and just become, the whole area had become seedy, and just lots of people just stoned out on drugs and commercialized, and there was no higher, no trace of any higher search. It was just very low and degraded. So George Harrison mentioned that, and he regretted that he had been instrumental in promoting something which turned out so bad. So Srila Prabhupada's disciples, they thought they were in a revolution promoting love, but talking generally here, of course, not that all the Srila Prabhupada's disciples were hippies, but enough that Srila Prabhupada mentioned that most of them were, several times he mentioned that. And they had this whole idea that by being non-materialistic in the sense that they weren't interested in amassing lots of money or joining the, being part of the American economic miracle. They weren't interested in that. But they still, illicit sex, drugs, these were their two grossly sinful activities which they engaged in, apart from being unclean, having long hair, proper for women, not for men, at least in the Gaudiya Vaishnava culture. So they're very, very low by any standards. Srila Prabhupada would refer to hippies and he would refer to gentlemen. In Srila Prabhupada's parlance, gentlemen, at least in the conventional understanding, means someone who acts respectfully in society, is well-spoken, well-educated, dresses nicely, has sufficient income. More or less the same definition that the materialists would give. Respectable people in society. So most of Srila Prabhupada's followers were way, way below that standard even. And Srila Prabhupada was, of course, far, far above the platform of the gentlemen of modern society who, from the social or conventional point of view, they may be gentlemen. But from the Vedic cultural perspective, barbarians also. So the devotee of the Lord is in most exalted position. There's a very nice statement Srila Prabhupada makes about that. It just came to my mind. Let's see if I can find that. Let me see. There's so many statements in Srila Prabhupada's books which are, they should be put on, well, they are, they're put on calendars. I think I'm finding it. Yeah, Tadvag Visargo. Which verse? I should know. 1511, is it? No, the first number, good. Srila Prabhupada talking about the saint. The beginning of the purport to this verse, which is practically a manifesto of Srila Prabhupada's mission. Tadvag Visargo Janataga Viplavaha. Srila Prabhupada begins the purport. It is a qualification of the great thinkers to pick up the best even from the worst. It is said that the intelligent man should pick up nectar from a stock of poison, should accept gold even from a filthy place, should accept a good and qualified wife even from an obscure family, and should accept a good lesson even from a man or from a teacher who comes from the untouchables. These are some of the ethical instructions for everyone in every place, without exception. This is from Chanakya, ethical instructions. But then Srila Prabhupada says, but a saint is far above the level of an ordinary man. So we can say, gentleman in Vedic culture, or the Srila Prabhupada says anywhere, someone who is, this describes one who is saragrahi, he can find the good things and the bad things. But a saint, Srila Prabhupada writes, is far above the level of an ordinary man. He is always absorbed in glorifying the Supreme Lord, because by broadcasting the holy name and fame of the Supreme Lord, the polluted atmosphere of the world will change. And as a result of propagating the transcendental literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam, people will become sane in their transactions. So Srila Prabhupada is writing about the saint. He's far above the level of an ordinary man, far above the level of a gentleman, because he's always absorbed in glorifying the Supreme Lord. And well, what's so great about that, you may say? It's good to be a gentleman. We don't have to glorify the Lord. I don't need all this religion stuff. But Srila Prabhupada writes that this is the way by which the polluted atmosphere of the world will change and people will become sane in their transactions, hinting that even the so-called gentlemen, they're not even sane. they're well-behavedly going to hell. Cultured, in a very cultured way, you could say, going to hell. And what is their culture anyway? Then meat and wine and women, and it's very fallen and low culture. So Srila Prabhupada, he went among the lowest, very low strata of society. That wasn't his original intention, as we can understand from this verse, Tadvag Visargo Janataga Viplavaha. This verse, we can understand from this purport and various writings of Srila Prabhupada that he had the intention of preaching among the more educated, respectable, gentlemanly class of people in the Western world. But shortly after arriving there, he found that they're useless. They weren't interested in this thing, but he found some audience in the most unexpected. We can't even say most unexpected. It would be most unexpected, or highly unexpected, if 300 people were to turn up for Bhagavatam class here tomorrow morning. But it's not beyond the imagination. At least it's imaginable. What is more real? A centaur? You know what a centaur is? It's the body of a man and the legs of a horse. So that's unreal, right? At least by modern understanding, we didn't see. So that's unreal. And what about a square circle? That's also unreal. But at least you can imagine a centaur. You can't even imagine a square circle because the very description it makes it impossible. So it wasn't that it was, when we say highly unexpected, that these crazy hippies would come to Srila Prabhupada. It wasn't, he didn't even have any knowledge that such kind of people existed. they could exist. It was beyond his imagination, we can say. Of course, you may say that, well, the pure devotees, they know everything. Yeah, to some extent. That Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita also, Yomam eva sammudho janati purushottamam sa sarva vid bhajati mam sarva bhave na bharata. Krishna says, one who knows me knows everything. One who knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting knows everything. Therefore, he engages in my devotional service in all respects. This has to be understood, qualified, has to be understood in context. It doesn't mean that the pure devotee sits in the heart of every living being and understands everything in their hearts. He can do. Shukadeva Goswami is described as... what is that? Sasarava Muniyam Anatosmi. I one, the vital word I lost, but he can enter the hearts of all living beings. But omniscience is a quality of the Supreme Lord, not of his devotees. So they know everything means they know past, present, and future in a general way from the Shastra. Vyasadev, Trikalagya, he gave a description, Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport of the verse we read this morning. He gives a description of the symptoms of Kali Yuga. And Srila Prabhupada, he mentioned one of those quite often. One of the symptoms of Kali Yuga is Lavanya Kesha Dharanam. People will think that beauty means having long hair. And Srila Prabhupada said, I factually saw that when I came to America. Long hair, long beards for men and for women also. Of course, in Vedic culture, women keep long hair unless they are widowed or if they're a tapasvini. But they keep it tied and it's not all over the place, wild, tied up. And in, at least in North Indian culture, covered for the married women. So Srila Prabhupada saw, I saw it's actually true what the Bhagavatam says. Anyway, he was among these really crazy people by any standards. And even among the hippies, it was considered, to be considered crazy was considered prestigious. Because you get too crazy, you get put in the madhouse. But the streets of New York, Lower East Side, where Srila Prabhupada ended up, and San Francisco, it was a madhouse, an open-air madhouse. In San Francisco, sometimes the police would they'd pick up these hippies who are just wild, crazy on drugs and take them to the temple and put them in the temple. Here, you look after them. There was some hope that the devotees could look after such people. So Srila Prabhupada, he didn't expect to go among such people. And actually the number of people who took seriously to Krishna consciousness among the hippies, it was not that many. They had to sacrifice their freedom, their so-called freedom, their life of discipline they'd have to undertake. They have to stop taking drugs and cut their hair, not just cut their hair, but shave their heads. That was too big an attachment. Hair, long hair and beards. All gone. Oh, those days, they mostly used the hand razor. So not that many came and fully gave themselves and surrendered. So those who did thought themselves very fortunate to have come to this. And the personality of Srila Prabhupada was such that definitely his personality dominated this movement without his cutting a profile. He was very natural. He was naturally Krishna conscious. He was training the devotees to be Krishna conscious. But for him, it was just so natural to be fully absorbed in Krishna all the time. One of his talks he gave in France, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhaktaha. I believe he was speaking on the 9th chapter, last verse. So he gave this verse, always think of me, Krishna says. So Srila Prabhupada gave his talk. Do you know how he began the talk? First word he said, so. He began many of his talks like that. You can hear, so, what is the difficulty? He said, one of Srila Prabhupada's common sayings. What is the difficulty? Shruti Kirti Prabhu gave that title to his book of memories of Srila Prabhupada. What is the difficulty? Srila Prabhupada said, What is the difficulty to think of Krishna always? And when you're with Srila Prabhupada and he's saying, no difficulty at all. It's but we find difficulty. Srila Prabhupada often say, what is the difficulty? It was almost as if Srila Prabhupada is saying, why aren't you Krishna conscious? What's the problem? It's natural to think of Krishna. It's natural to always be absorbed in Krishna. But for us, it seemed like a tremendous challenge to be Krishna conscious. Even to chant the rounds. Srila Prabhupada, when he gave initiation, first of all gave initiation. You chant 64. 64 rounds. It's just beyond their imagination. Even 16, he brought it down to 32, then to 16 minimum. I know myself when I've heard 16? You have to go around those beads and chant 16. But then I thought, well, all these devotees here are doing it. They didn't. They came from a similar kind of background to me. I guess if they can do it, I can do it. And we see in some societies promoting Krishna consciousness in the world today, they don't ask for 16 rounds. They ask for 4 rounds or whatever you can do. Just keep on chanting. Srila Prabhupada instituted minimum 16 rounds of chanting. And for us it may seem a challenge to do that. Actually, often on initiation day, it's a challenge to do it because devotees, they're busy in the day and there's so many things, and then they've got to go and collect dakshina and they find it difficult. And on that very day, it may be difficult to squeeze it in. Of course, chanting rounds is not meant to be squeezed in. But for Srila Prabhupada, it was very natural to be Krishna conscious. Actually, it is for everyone. Natural, but our consciousness is now changed, perverted, so that we are attached to matter. In this first canto, there are so many important verses. We can find, you can look that up. Where is that? Yaya samohito jiva atmana. You can look that up. What number is it? Description of Maya. Vyasadeva was meditating on Maya. We all meditate on Maya, don't we? But Vyasadeva was meditating on Maya. Well, actually he was meditating on Krishna, and then he saw Maya in that, behind, as 175, he saw the potency of the Supreme Lord, very powerful potency. Yaya samohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam paropimanate naratam tatkritam chabipadyate. Due to this external energy, the living entity, although transcendental to the three modes of material nature, thinks of himself as a material product and thus undergoes the reactions of material miseries. So this is what Vyasadeva sees in his meditation. But then he sees that by hearing the messages of Krishna, people can be delivered from this. And this was Srila Prabhupada's program for delivering the Western world. We can see in his poem, Markarne Bhagavad Dharma, the program that he gave for bringing people out of Maya. It's not his program per se, but how he envisioned people coming to Krishna consciousness. The very name of the poem, Markarne Bhagavad Dharma, Krishna consciousness in America. It sounds something ridiculous. And people said it was, people told me, it's ridiculous, you're wasting your, come on, you're old, you stay in Vrindavan and die. If you die there, you'll get born again. They were warning him, don't go to America. But he had the idea, Krishna consciousness in America. And how will that be imparted? You may think, well, by the holy names, but Prabhupada put emphasis on giving the message of Bhagavatam. Let people hear. Then they'll be freed from these modes of nature. Tata rajastamo bhava. They'll be freed from this. And then they can be Krishna conscious. So devotees, even though in the early days of the movement, devotees, compared to today, we could say at least the opportunities for understanding so many things weren't there, because it takes time to absorb all these things. And in that time, the only books available were the three volumes of the first canto of Bhagavatam. That was it. And then Easy Journey came, and then this Prabhupada had them start the Back to Godhead magazine when they really didn't know very much about Krishna consciousness at all. And they had Srila Prabhupada's classes. But they had great faith in Srila Prabhupada, and those who came. Many of them had great faith. Some not so much. Some came and went. Some came and stayed. With great faith in Srila Prabhupada. And in the beginning they didn't have that consciousness, but gradually they came to understand what an immensely exalted person he is. And they also came to understand, through getting transcendental knowledge, how fallen we are, how far we are away from the standard that's given here in Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada, by giving us Bhagavatam, introduced us to so many great personalities. In this first canto, again, Srila Prabhupada states that he says, Narad Muni, who has so kindly appeared in these pages of Bhagavatam, he's present there in Bhagavatam. So Srila Prabhupada introduced us to so many great personalities. We see their high level of Krishna consciousness, and seeing that Srila Prabhupada is on the level or more even than these great devotees. We have Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapilo, Manu, Prahlada, Janako, Bhishmas, Balir, Vyasakir, Vayam. Yamaraj lists 12 Mahajanas, but Srila Prabhupada, he's not any less. Of course, when we should be careful in comparing pure devotees and not give our material judgment, but it was Srila Prabhupada who was the Senapati Bhakta, the commander-in-chief devotee who was sent by Lord Chaitanya to make Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction of Krishna consciousness spreading to every town and village, to make that possible. So what is Srila Prabhupada's position? We don't know. We can only say he's very, very high. Krishna Prishta, very dear to Krishna. Very, very dear to Krishna. And by the will of providence, we who have very, very fallen have the opportunity to be linked with him. He gave that opportunity to everyone he came in contact with. Not everyone took it. As I was saying, the hippies, they liked the prasadam, they liked the chanting, but not all were prepared to surrender their life. But Srila Prabhupada insisted, if you're going to be Krishna conscious, you have to follow. There are rules and regulations which he gradually introduced. And those who took it, they could feel the effect. They could understand. Now we are different. As Ravindra Swarup Prabhu pointed out, to come to Srila Prabhupada, for most of his disciples, they had to drop out twice. There's this saying, drop out of society. It means don't, you're in college, university, leave it and just don't have a job, or just you can work some temporary job sometimes. Just don't be in that society. Drop out, become a hippie. But then they had to drop out twice because they had to drop out of the counterculture, out of the hippie society, to join Srila Prabhupada. So it was a major cultural, social shift for them. But those who did, they could appreciate their great fortune. Likely, just like I said, that this verse was often quoted when Srila Prabhupada was present and in the years shortly following that. Devotees could have some insights into how fortunate they were and are because Srila Prabhupada taught us how fortunate we are. We wouldn't even know how fortunate we were. We wouldn't even have any insight into how fortunate we are unless Srila Prabhupada had given us this. Here the sages at Naimisharanya think, oh, it's our great good fortune that we met you. They think they're already very exalted personalities. They think, oh, it's our great good fortune. There are so many rishis, so many great personalities. We see at the time of Parikshit Maharaj deciding to fast to death, fast until his death, which was impending. It's impending for everyone, but he had 7 days' notice. That so many rishis came from all over the universe, but they weren't all pure devotees. So to meet someone who can give the message of Bhagavatam clearly as it is a great good fortune, which Shonak and the rishis at Naimisharanya were aware of that. But the people coming to Srila Prabhupada, they weren't even aware of that. They had no idea how to receive a sadhu. No idea. This Ravi Shankar, this sitarist, he mentioned to Srila Prabhupada, he met him in America in the early days of the movement, and he was saying how here in America you're going to teach students, because he would teach them sitar playing. He said, you have to tolerate things like the student will sit with his feet toward you. In the Western world, people are sitting with your feet, so what? They can't understand. This is very disrespectful. You don't do this. A few years ago, this Amazon company, they brought out some mats for wiping your feet with the Indian flag. They thought that would be a good seller among the Indians, but it outraged them. How can you, wiping your feet on the Indian flag, that's highly insulting to India. They didn't know, coming from a different culture. You could probably take the American flag and wipe your backside with it and no one would care. So they're culturally so far away, and in terms of knowledge, so far away. Kaling sattva harang pum sam. Kali Yuga takes away all the good qualities of a human being. That wasn't true in America, was it? Or it was true? Was it true or not true? It was true. I don't think so. They didn't have any good qualities. There's nothing to take away. In terms of Vedic culture, they were practically not even human beings. Human civilization begins with Varnashram. The vestiges of which are still going on in India in a very poor way, but still something going on. But in the Western world, it's not even human civilization. Subhuman. We have Srila Prabhupada fulfilled that prophecy of or that statement of Bhagavatam. Kirata Hunandra Palinda Pulkasha. What's the next word? Abhira Shumba Yavanaka Sadaya Yene Japapa Yadapa Shraya Shraya Shudhyanti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Namaha. This Prabhavishnu means he's very powerful. Vishnu is very powerful. Offering obeisance. Shukadev Goswami is offering obeisance. How powerful he is that he not even directly, but even through his devotee, someone who is completely surrendered to him, even through his devotee, the most fallen people, Kirat, Hun, Andhra, all the different low-class people, they can also be devotees, come to the highest position. And that was seen in the movement of Lord Chaitanya, that in Bengal, going out a little bit into what's now Jharkhand, that many people, junglies, that was word is used, jungly. You're not allowed to use words like that in India anymore. As you used to use as a child, maybe. If someone's very, very gross, or if they're very scheduled tribes, they call it jungly. People used to live in the jungles, what they used to call savages. I saw, it must have been sometime in the 1980s, I was in Navadvip, on the Navadvip Dham Parikrama. I saw some men, short, very dark skin, with just a small coping, that's all they were wearing, with bows and arrows. They were hunting. They were jungly types. So it was quite common up until recently. So they're not, they're in human body, but not human culture. Almost like animals. They hunt and they eat and like this and that. Of course, even among the tribals, there was actually more culture in many ways than there was in the Western world. So there was no understanding. The Shaunaka Rishi says, we are very fortunate to have the opportunity to be instructed by you. Then how much more fortunate are we in the Western world to be instructed by Srila Prabhupada? It's unimaginable how fortunate we are. There's an example given in Buddhism. And of course, Buddhism is philosophically and behaviorally, it's, although they reject the Vedas, it's 98% Vedic culture and Vedic teachings. But there's one major problem. Anatma, they don't exist. Buddha said there's no Atma. So that's their mistake. And of course they don't accept the Vedas, although they take all the ideas are there from the Vedas. But there's an example given, so it's no doubt in the Vedic corpus, a lot of it is lost now, that the possibility even of getting a human form of life, it's just like there's a turtle swimming in the great ocean. And he comes up once in a day of Brahma. He comes up and puts his head up. Vast ocean. And in that vast ocean, there's a piece of wood with a small hole in it. Maybe you've seen. You know, Anantashesha Prabhu. You're a carpenter. Sometimes there's a hole where the knot comes. The knot means where the branch comes out. And sometimes that piece, because it's a little loose, it comes out, so you have a little hole in the wood. And that hole is just big enough for that turtle to put his head in. So once in a day of Brahma, in the vast ocean, there's that piece of wood floating with that small hole, and that once in a, he comes up once, and he puts his head in that hole. It's almost impossible. That's even to get a human birth. And what to speak of the opportunity of coming in contact with a pure devotee of Krishna, Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavanjeev, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bija. A very fortunate person can have this opportunity to get the seed of the desire to serve Krishna planted within the heart. So the Varnashram system is for making people fortunate, for training them to act in pious ways, not impious ways. Last night we read Dushkritam, the sinful people. So Dushkriti and Sukriti. Sukriti means people who Dushkriti means sinful people. Sukriti means pious people. So Varnashram Dharma is for making people pious. And within that culture, Varnashram Acharavata Purushena Parapuman Vishnu Aradhyate Panta Nanyatattoshakaranam. Within Varnashram, the center is supposed to be Vishnu, even if people are not inclined to pure devotional service. There's always always Vishnu is there. Yeah. In the yajnas, minimally, he is worshipped in the yajnas and in the caste, what they call the three higher castes, especially the brahmanas, they have to worship Shalagram. So Vishnu is there, and pious activity performed in relation to Vishnu gives a devotional result. And that devotional result becomes manifest when one comes in contact with a pure devotee. That means that one may have pious inclinations within the heart, but unless one comes in contact with a pure devotee who speaks the message of Krishna unadulteratedly, then those inclinations, they can't be properly awakened or properly directed. So Shonaka is saying, we, myself and all these sages here at Naimisharanya, we think it's a great good fortune to have come in contact with you, because you are the right person for guiding us, guiding the ship. The human body is like a ship for crossing the ocean of the material existence, and especially in Kali Yuga. It's a Kale Dosha Nidhe Rajan. Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. But we can cross over the ocean if we have Karnadhara, if we have a good captain for the ship. And the favorable winds, Mayanukulena Nabhasvateritam, the favorable winds are the instructions of Krishna in the Shastras. So it's very fortunate to have that opportunity. But that is more likely, and it's not unusual, in the land of Bharata, known as Punya Bhumi, Dharma Bhumi. But outside of India, impossible. That is actually the consideration. That's why before Srila Prabhupada went to the West, he said, impossible. Even the people in India are not taking much interest these days. What to speak of in the West? Actually, it was a fact. It was impossible by any material consideration. But Srila Prabhupada had faith that yes, Kirata, Hunandra, Pulinda, Pulkasha, they can all come. Everyone can come. He had faith in the power of the message of Godhead, the message of Bhagavatam, the message of the holy names, and he came. And he saw in these people who, he saw them as Krishna sent them to me. These people, these very unusual people. But somehow they like to chant Hare Krishna. Some of them are listening to what I say. How much can they understand? Not much. But he started to instruct them. They like to take Krishna prasadam. He saw some sign of hope. So he said that his policy was, if there is a little spark of interest, fan it. And gradually that became a blazing fire. So fortunate. Suta Goswami, great personality, so many great personalities have been there. If we see the history of India, Bharata, Mahabharata, we'll find that so many great personalities are listed. In Ramayana, we'll find so many great personalities. It's almost expected that there will be saintly people. Not that everyone's saintly. Kamsa was also from India. So not everyone is saintly. But it's expected. When we say sadhu, we think of someone, well, Indian, right? Sadhu means someone in India. But Srila Prabhupada had faith that everyone can take to Krishna consciousness. Anyone, anywhere. If they simply hear the message of Bhagavatam, chant the holy names, take prasada. With that faith he went. So, in that sense, even though there are many saintly persons in India, but we were very fortunate that Srila Prabhupada came and he picked us up. We shouldn't underestimate that. Of course, we do underestimate it because we can't properly begin to grasp how fortunate we are. But we shouldn't minimize it. Nowadays, unfortunately, there are so many things, Prabhupada, this made this mistake, and it's very distasteful, extremely distasteful, offensive. Now, it is a fact that for propagating our mission in the modern world, there are statements of Srila Prabhupada which are very hard for the people of contemporary society to accept. Actually, almost everything he said, surrender to Krishna, that's hard for them to accept. That's a fact, and we have to consider how to present that. It may be very difficult for people, this egalitarianism and feminism has made the ghostly consciousness of the Western world, has made it exacerbated. They don't even understand the difference. They become so insane, they don't even understand the difference between a man or a woman, that even there is a difference. And they want a very, 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 very demoniac. This. So Srila Prabhupada was... if you want to, of course, he's much more than a social commentator, but you could say anti-feminist, which doesn't go down very well in the world today, in the Western world especially, and that may be hard to explain to others. But we should know that what he said was correct. Not shy away from that. It may be difficult to identify with Srila Prabhupada. We find that in Jesus also, don't we? He said that, I don't remember exactly. He said that, I know Peter, he said, three times you will deny me before the cock crows. Jesus predicted that Peter was his main disciple, was following the parade or the procession as Jesus was going for his crucifixion. And sometimes people pointed out to Peter, oh, you were with him, weren't you? No. And he didn't want to get crucified. He was eventually. So it's hard to identify with someone who is so much against what is considered normal. But if we are to actually appreciate our good fortune in coming to Srila Prabhupada, then we have to follow in his footsteps. They're not easy footsteps to follow in. because preaching Krishna consciousness is like declaring, or even practicing Krishna consciousness, is like declaring war on the illusory energy, who is very, very powerful. But that is the burden we have to take if we are to actually accept the good fortune. Actually, the great good fortune will be if people don't like us. We can say in one perspective, we're not going out deliberately trying to make people not like us. Not that we should, after this talk, go out and get a bunch of rocks and start throwing them through people's windows. They should not like us for the right reasons, not for the wrong reasons. But if materialistic people misunderstand us, that may be a sign that we're doing the right thing. Srila Prabhupada, he mentioned that also, that if we preach Krishna consciousness, we can expect opposition. He wrote this in Chaitanya Charitamrita commentary. The fact that there is opposition shows that our movement is going on well. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also sings, Gurudev kobe tava karuno prakashe. When will your mercy be manifest upon me? And then he says, Pagala Balia. What is that? He says the iterogen. I can't remember exactly. Bishoye amare pagala balaya ongete dibe kaduli. Let these materialistic people they will say I'm mad, and they will throw all dirt on me. And that is now I know my guru is very pleased with me. This is his mercy on me. Strange religion, huh? Everything about it seems strange. Srila Prabhupada was unabashedly different. He came to the Western world and he met one early on in his time in the West, before he had any disciples. He met Swami Nikhilananda, who was a sannyasi of the Ramakrishna Mission, who was teaching as a professor in a college in Pennsylvania. Srila Prabhupada was lodged in Butler, Pennsylvania at that time. And Swami Nikhilananda told him, Swamiji, you see, if you're going to live here in America, you can't dress like this. You can't dress in your Indian clothes. You have to adjust yourself. And even before he says you have to eat meat, you have to drink alcohol, you have to adjust to the people. Even before Srila Prabhupada went to the West, Swami Bon, Srila Prabhupada's godbrother, who had been to America. Well, he went to England and he went to America also. Before he went for a few months to America, much later, before Prabhupada went to the West. So he also said, look, if you're going to be among the Western people, you've got to sit down on a chair and table and eat with a knife and fork. He wanted to train Prabhupada in this. But Srila Prabhupada didn't change his ways. He had his dress, he had his food, he had people sit on the floor to take prasadam. He didn't insist in the beginning, but he was very happy when the devotees started to shave their head and wear dhotis. He wanted to bring this culture, the culture of the spiritual world. So it may not be very easy to follow him. There are levels of following him. But we can express our gratefulness to him. Gratefulness for the great good fortune we had of him being present for us by taking his mission and trying to propagate it. I'll finish there for now. We have the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita in five volumes, and many, many other books are written. Many more can be written. Many should be written. It's going on now. You're also experiencing the presence of Srila Prabhupada in your life. So it's not that you're any less fortunate. In some ways more fortunate. We think those who had lots of personal association with Srila Prabhupada, they must be the most fortunate. But actually there are many who, from the beginning they were told, you associate with Srila Prabhupada by his instructions. So that those who were accustomed to that, for them, in some ways, Srila Prabhupada's disappearance didn't affect them so much because they were already accustomed to serving Srila Prabhupada by his instructions. I was just listening to some memories by Vaisheshika Prabhu. They got news of Srila Prabhupada's departure from this world. They're ready for going. Every day they go out for book distribution. They just went on. They went on book distribution. We're with Prabhupada. We're linked with him by this. So serving by his instructions by adhering to the instructions is the very solid, substantial way to be linked with him. Hare Krishna. Any questions? And if you want comments, what you want to say, you can say. We'll have a little later program. Then?
Hare Krishna. You mentioned that hippies liked prasadam and bhajans, music.
Who and disliked?
They liked.
Oh, they liked. Yeah.
And today there is a very, very strong movement inside Hare Krishna movement whose main goal is that people feel good. And let's give them nice music, nice prasadam. Don't speak philosophy. Don't correct anything. But we see, if you mentioned Markine Bhagavat Dharma, that Prabhupada mentioned they need to hear.
Yeah, well, then we come to Srila Prabhupada's comment in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, as it is, that religion without philosophy is sentimentalism, or sometimes fanaticism.
So
you'll get sentimentalism.
So does this...
If you don't hear the philosophy, then you won't get bhidyate hridya grantis chidyante sarva sanshayaha. You won't get the... you won't get the maya dispelled.
So that was actually my question, because Prabhupada wanted to hear Bhagavad philosophy, to give people philosophy of Bhagavad.
Yeah.
And my question was actually, is it possible that all these people who just fill their belly and maybe enjoy some music, and today's best preachers are those who mentioned less Krishna or anything, you know.
Best,
like,
and who's that judgment?
Well, but it appeared like that.
In terms of numbers. Well, Srila Prabhupada himself said, if I compromised, I could have had so many followers. So number of followers is not necessarily the criterion of success.
So without hearing a message of Bhagavad, does these people can become Krishna conscious?
Can you become Krishna conscious at some level? Some consciousness of Krishna is there. But without hearing Bhagavad, then we have to hear so many nonsense things. We have to hear something. Then we'll be somewhere.
So nice Krishna leela, people feel nice and...
Yeah, then we come to... Then what it comes to is Western Hinduism. Hinduism without the piety. Yeah, give them.
We also hear that you have your Prabhupada, we have our Prabhupada. Then
your Prabhupada and our Prabhupada.
Yeah, then how we can know which have...
Srila Prabhupada said, if you want to know me, read my books. Your Prabhupada, my Prabhupada, imaginary Prabhupada.
who has correct
Prabhupada. Yeah, that's another way you can think it's better we don't have Prabhupada's direct personal association, because it's very heavy. The imagined Prabhupada who's always smiling and tolerates everything. Well, he was like that in 1967 in San Francisco to a large extent, but then he wanted to train his disciples, bring them up from having a good time. They were happy in Krishna consciousness, but on their own terms and conditions, but he wanted to bring them up. So he became strong and gradually introduced so many rules. And he was, strong. He would chastise the disciples who could take it. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So what's the program now?
Okay, as you initially suggested, that we start Pushpanjali at 11?
Yeah, well, there's some offerings to Prabhupada that are going to be read out.
Yes. But not so many. We're hoping you would read. We can.
Maybe 10 o'clock. We have a little break now. I think we all have rounds to chant. Maybe 10 o'clock.
The clock starting with readings.
Yeah, I have some bhajan and some reading. And then 11 o'clock you want to have Pushpanjali. When is the bhog offering scheduled for?
Noon. Noon.
Yeah. So after...
12?
Yeah. Bhog offering to Srila Prabhupada. So before that comes Pushpanjali. And actually, usually bhog offering, Pushpanjali. It can be before either. So Pushpanjali, bhog offering, then arati. Usually at that time we sing the Guravashtaka in a different tune. So we can do that. So, 10 o'clock, 10:30 reading of offerings. And then, when that's done, we will have some bhajan before them.
It is better to have Pushpanjali after the bhog offering, because Prabhupada will then eat covered in petals.
Oh, I see. But if you do it after the bhog offering, the standard thing is you offer food and then arati on the altar. Always that order is there.
We will claim him. I think Pushpanjali is...
Pushpanjali, the flower is supposed to be offered at the feet, actually. So we'll do it like that, 10:30, bhajan... We can sing what? Ohe Vaishnava Thakur. Sing that. Then some readings. And then what? Do you want to have the Pushpanjali then? But then when will the bhog be ready? Who can say? Can you give a time? They have to have a time. Otherwise it can be stretched unlimitedly.
We will write something.
Yeah, but let's finalize it now so everyone knows.
Noon offering.
Yeah, and then 12:15 the arati.
Yes.
Okay. For Prabhupada. All right. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.